This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League and the Europa League. And today is a special episode because the Champions League and Europa League finals have now both been set. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are the topics we'll be discussing in today's episode. Man City cruising past PSG on their way to their first Champions League final ever. Chelsea comfortably advancing past Real Madrid to reach their first final since 2012. A preview of Saturday's big match between City and Chelsea that could decide the title. Arsenal unable to get the job done at the Emirates against Villarreal and Unai Emery. And a look at how Man United fared in their first match since Sunday's protest. That's what we've got coming up in today's show.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Okay, Rob, mate, let's get into it. We do have finalists now in all the European competitions, and it's great to watch this stuff. And, of course, massive Premier League interest. Everybody wondering whether it's going to be two Premier League teams into the Europa League Champions League final. It is. Man City beat PSG 2-0. Riyad Mahrez scoring both of them, Rob. The team news, mate. I thought it was really interesting, the couple of changes that Pep made to his team. Shape was exactly the same. Going for Cancelo at left and I don't know, I didn't see this one coming. The Fernandinho switch from Rodri. Rodri's been really obviously trust both guys, but Rodri's been superb. That was a big call, and I think an indication of the absolute trust he's got in his captain, Fernandinho. And maybe we'll get into it later on, Rob, but that was kind of bore out later in the game when things got a little bit heated. I thought it was in the zone, but it worked out to be great decision, both great decisions. Still still the double false nines, as I call it, because they kind of are. Bernardo Silva and Kevin De Bruyne. I hear people talk about 4-3-3. It's not 4-3-3. It's 4-4-2. And those two are De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva. And their ability, Rob, to always be available, to find the angles, to find the spaces, and most importantly for Pep, never practically ever given the ball away. That's why he uses false nines. That's why he doesn't have strikers, because those two are so good at keeping possession. And that was a really important part of the game, Rob, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say, because I think we all got to the stage where we almost thought we can second guess his best 11 now. He said, I'll be on the left, Walker will be on the right, Rodri will be in the middle, going to do anything. And he still surprises us, Rob. He still comes up with little things that maybe we don't see, we don't understand. Maybe he's lost a little bit of confidence in Cancelo's defending, maybe, you know, against a team that might look to quick counter-attack. There's something in Fernandinho that he knows, that he trusts. And you know, if we go from back to front, the back end of the game, Fernandinho came into his absolute own, mate. He was magnificent. I couldn't believe, and I had to read the stat two or three times. He was 36 years of age on the match day. 36, yeah. Rob. Still running the game, still tactical fouls, still knowing what to do, still making sure his teammates. His kind of, his words, his, the way he held Zinchenko when Zinchenko was close to losing his head.
I know.
Is the difference why sometimes Man City have made a semi-final and not made a final. Right there is why if anything else he does in football, why you pick him up. Yeah. Sometimes in those moments, you've got to have that guy.
Yeah.
You've got to have that guy.
I'm not sure who else would do it, Rob. I'm not sure who else.
No. There was a couple trying, maybe in his kind of, you know, muscular way that he's trying to get in between. De Bruyne, I think, kind of goes, come on, what are you doing? But the way I looked at Fernandinho and looked at Zinchenko, and I know it's a small element of the game, but it's so, so important that when we talk about game management and knowing what you're going to do. It was like a father scolding a son. It was like a father saying, you know, you should know better. This is about the bigger thing. And I thought it was just brilliant, bit of drama, bit of football, bit of why Fernandinho starts and why it'll probably be sort of the final team as well, Rob, because when you need them, when it's a moment, when you're not sure how some people might react in the heat of the battle, you can rely on this fella.
Also, by the way, the other guy that came into the side, Alexander Zinchenko.
Yeah, yeah.
We do, of course, our underappreciated most weeks, Premier League weekends, Rob. I mean, is Zinchenko like one of the most underappreciated players in the Premier League? I mean, I know he's not really a left back, but I mean, for the goal, you know, very incredibly high up. The Edison ball is astonishing. And that there's not another goalkeeper that I see now or have ever seen that can do that. And that absolutely caught out PSG.
Yeah, and I heard it's trained. It's something they work on, Rob. It's not by fault that Zinchenko's that high and he hits him. It's not one of them off the cuff. Apparently, they work on it.
Yeah, I mean, to look for that. And for Zinchenko, right, I looked at it again. He was level with any forward player of Man City. I mean, he was on the halfway line.
He was higher than the wide player.
I mean, it's like, wow, like as if like this is something that we might potentially do.
Unbelievable
left foot ability. I mean, right.
I mean, off one stride, isn't it? He smashes it that far and Zinchenko's away. I mean,
those two decisions, just initially, were like, well done, Pep. And they were big calls. And obviously, you know, you need those calls to go well in a game. And it did. I mean, I think, Rob, over the two legs, the general, when you looked at this game or this matchup, City looked a better side. They looked a more inside. They looked a more groove side. Of course, the danger that PSG posed with those front players, of course, Mbappe wasn't okay to play this game, was a concern. But I always like to see, and by the way, this isn't any kind of bias towards English teams. I always want to see the best team go through. For me, clearly, Man City were the best side, and their football has kind of grooved now over a period of time. And that's what makes it really difficult for other sides to stop that kind of machine-like possession-type football.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, Rob, because, you know, if we just go through the game and, you know, you sit down, you've got your bit of paper, I've got my cup of tea, my stomach's a little bit nervous. For 5 or 10 minutes, PSG got on the ball again. And I'm starting to think, oh, are we there again? That first half where they're going to dominate. And it was funny. It was almost like I felt the penalty thing when it hit Zinchenko's arm and they went to VAR and they got, it was like a goal. And it was almost like they took a breath, City. You know, different circumstances. It was never a penalty, but yes, and we never know with VAR in Europe and whatever. But it was almost like, right, come on, let's play now. And they kicked in a little bit, and then they started to control the game. Then they started, and as the game was played, first off, I was thinking, more ability, better passes, mental strength—the three things that are gonna outdo this PSG team.
I also, Rob, thought, you know, thinking back at previous seasons in the Champions League, Rob, with this team, and how much stronger Manchester City are defensively. Stones and Ruben Dias, you know, were quite honestly superb, because there was a few moments, Rob. It wasn't, you know, this game wasn't, it was in the balance for quite a period of time. And those players, particularly Diaz, again, we keep talking the same players. The blocks that he made, the sliding challenges that he made, and it wasn't just him, it was all those defenders.
No, yeah.
was the difference. And that's why this season is different for Man City, because defensively they're a whole different level than what they've been over for previous seasons. And that's why, for me, I'm like, wow, they're going to take some beating. And I've said this for a long, long period of time now, given those improvements, and they were there for everybody to see with how they, what was the one block? Was it Zinchenko made the block?
There was a Mount block when it hit him in the face. And I saw somebody on Twitter go, Mount Diaz. And I tell you what else I saw, because you know me, I'm looking around for the little things. There was a certain period where PSG had a couple of shots and blocks, and as I'm looking, I'm thinking, and I want our listeners to hear the sentence that he's not Vincent Kompany yet. He's got a long way to go, but it was Vincent Kompany like.
Yeah,
he's not John Terry yet, but he was chucking his face at the ball. Okay, hit me where you want to hit me. It's not going in my goal, like John Terry in his prime at Chelsea. That's what it was like. And I was watching him, Rob, because he's 23 years of age and he's still, without me sounding patronizing, he's still a kid, really. He's still, you know, two or three more developing in the game. So he's, you know, 23-year-olds, we're saying, are starting to come now, they're starting to show. His discipline of getting his body in the right position, crouching, keeping his eye on the ball, never getting squared up, just like he just wants to defend this kid. And remember, we had him, and our view is, if they haven't, get a chance to go back. When we had him on a podcast, and we talked to him, and we came away both saying, God, he's all business, isn't he? Remember the big thing that stood out, Rob, when he said, I've been sort of preparing for my life. I know you were talking about the Premier League then, but I watch players, I watch tape, I'm kind of ready. It just looks like playing football, defending his goal, being part of this Manchester City team is everything for this young kid. Absolutely everything.
And almost like, and I reminisce a little bit to a defender that we had, an Italian defender called Gianluca Fiesta, that it was his work. It was his job. It was his work. And he didn't necessarily enjoy doing it, but he was 100% fixed on doing it. And that's what we got from the interview, Rob, with Ruben Diaz. Yeah. And that's what you're seeing. Like, I don't care about anything else. This is my job, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. The fact that he's 23 years of age, and we'll get better, and we'll get more respect, and we'll become, you know, like the other game, like Sergio Ramos has done everything that he's done. There's an aura about Sergio Ramos, Rob. What he brings, his aggressiveness and his leadership and his, you know, I think Ruben Diaz, I don't say he's not that sort of player, but he would benefit from a bit more of a aura about him, and maybe a little bit more imposing in the way he carries himself.
That maybe comes with time, doesn't it? Does that come a little bit with time and age and maturity?
Success. And to know that he's been there and done it, you know, do you know what I mean, Rob? It's just a little bit.
It's the Van Dijk thing, isn't it? It's the Van Dijk thing that takes him to the next level, because he looks like, you know, attackers don't even take them on because they go, oh, it's Van Dijk or it's Diaz, I'll turn away. It's that aura that comes with games and reputation and, I don't know, winning team, you know, player of the years and things that he'll be in the running for. Yeah, it's interesting. I wanted to also just touch on, 36-year-old Fernandinho. A 20-year-old Phil Foden, Robbie Musto, is an absolute talent. He glides around the football pitch like he's on ice skates at times. He's got this lovely fluid movement. He's got a combination of strength. He can pass. He can make things happen. On another day, he gets himself a goal. At 20 years of age, he's an absolute star. And forget all the multi-millions that Man City have spent. This is a local kid who's come to the academy, who's as important as anyone else, because he's going to show those kids in the academy there is a route and you can get in the team. And the one I want to talk about, Rob, and I think we can sometimes overlook him, Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah.
Another level. I mean, we've seen Riyad Mahrez, who came into this team, Rob, probably on the outside of the wide players, of the one that's maybe going to come on for 20 minutes and win the game. Absolutely one of the first names on the sheet now.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't look comfortable at the beginning of his City career, as if he wasn't quite ready for that, and the manager's very intimidating, but he's absolutely come into his own. And that's why sometimes when we evaluate players and analyse players a little bit, you know, we're cognizant of some players take a little bit of time to really get to grips with the team, the different club, the manager ideals and everything else. And he's a great example. I mean, the second goal is a deadly counter-attack. Phil Foden crosses it in, and Riyad Mahrez taps it in. Just quality football throughout. And yeah, absolutely right. Riyad Mahrez, like, he fit. I mean, I saw an argument online about whether he was underappreciated or not, you know, and like he was big money signing. He's on I guess the expectation was always there for him, Rob. But of course, we've seen this a million times of players that are expected to do great things and don't. But Riyad Mahrez is the same pickup I was going to make sure we mention here. Two goals in a game like this.
Yeah, you know.
And what he's done in previous games.
It was a brilliant moment when he stood over the ball with Neymar and dropped his shoulder and, you know, he does that floppy ankle thing. And Neymar was like off wanting to bite and he was desperate for him to come. And it was like, you know, not your day today, superstar. It's, you're on my patch. Yeah. I'm scoring the goals and City were flying. And just in terms of, I wanted to just touch on, because again, you start looking around, you read a few reports and things before and after the game. Apparently, 23 years to the day on Monday, so a couple of days ahead of the Champions League victory, Man City were relegated to the third division then, the third tier of English football, 23 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's remarkable, Rob, what has happened. And we know that the Sheikh Mansour's money has been the foundation. But that money alone, as PSG will show you, doesn't necessarily win you titles.
Yeah. They're on the precipice of the dreams of Sheikh Mansour, Rob, and from building for many, many years now. We went to the training ground, Rob, and the stadium and stuff. And blimey, the amount of investment they've made into that area of Manchester, it's quite incredible that you know, and we got a real sense, and they're very keen to say that this is all about the local people. They have all the local people that love to come in and work in the football club, and they'll try and pick local coaches. Everything's kind of local to that area of Manchester, and it's just a beautiful campus, gorgeous facility. And to bring in, you know, the directors of former Barcelona directors and ultimately Pep Guardiola, Rob, was always the dream, and they're close to doing it now. And I'll tell you what I enjoyed, Rob. And I know that the images and the videos went of Man City celebrating after on the pitch and also in the dressing room. And it looked like a real release of like, God, they've been close before, of course. But now to get to their first ever Champions League final, I just love it. I like it when the time is right, because we have criticised before when players get a little carried away in the dressing room themselves and all that. But I appreciated the release of like joy and relief and everything else. I thought those were great scenes, and it sets up, you know, for a brilliant Champions League final.
Absolutely right. There was a lovely shot of Zinchenko at the end of the game. You know what it meant to him, in tears, like coming picked up. Just you know what that moment's going to mean, and Pep and the group and all the backroom stuff. Yeah, magic moments. Just before we move on, mate, a little word on PSG and Poch. And Did PSG become what we fear PSG will be, that on the good days, if it doesn't quite, was it a bit, you could almost feel the frustration, the it was almost like they were ready to implode. Obviously, the Di Maria sending off doesn't help. The Verratti's starting to throw himself all over. Yeah. These challenges going on. I'm worried for one or two of the City players, just saying, stay out of trouble, make sure.
Yeah.
That's something Poch is going to have to deal with, Rob, if they're going to be successful. They've got to keep their emotional control better.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's a lot of good players on that team, Rob.
True.
Yeah. A lot of good players right through it, throughout the team. There's a ton of good players. And I tell you what, I think, you know, we're similar what we feel about Pochettino and what sort of coach he is. His biggest challenge, obviously, is to find a way to balance them emotionally and to keep them on a teamwork. He hasn't been there long enough yet, Rob. He hasn't been there long enough to say, oh, look at Pochettino, doesn't make it again or whatever, which he has. By the way, he has made it before. But given time, I just think it's a good team. There's a lot of good players there through midfield, from Marquinhos, one of the best centre-backs in the world, what he can do attacking the balls and defensively, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it is a good side. It's just Man City are really good. They're really, really good. And a mixture of, you know, the younger players, you talked about Foden and some signings they've made defensively, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the groove in the football, the tactics and everything else, they're a little better, but not much better. PSG's a good side, and it'll be disappointing. And I understand the frustration from the players, Rob, because they think this season was going to be it, and we've just, and I get it. But that's the tough thing that Pochettino's got to try and find a way to, I don't know, there'll be some changes probably in the playing side, Rob, going forward to see if they can make it to that final level and to win a Champions League final. But I admire the team. There's a ton of good players.
Yeah, good players,
really good footballers throughout.
And obviously, it could have been very, very different if Mbappe starts and is a threat, because you just never felt that threat was quite the same when PSG had the ball and go forward. With his pace in there, might have made it different. Okay, mate, let's move it on to the other one, the big semi. Real Madrid travelled to Stamford Bridge, 1-1. I've got to get, again, cup of tea, get my paper, nervous stomach, thinking, you know, which way is this one going to go? And I'll start you off with this one, Robbie Musto, that Real Madrid, huge names on the back of shirts, huge badge on the front of shirts that carries weight, great history and tradition in the competition. On the pitch, not that much trouble.
Well, are you?
I'm trying to say that for all that build up and for all that probably nervousness, Chelsea did a brilliant job at handling the Benzema threat, single creative striker threat. Was pretty much where their game was. Outside of that, I thought Chelsea did a brilliant job, Rob, of nullifying, of handling, of cajoling, of reining in the strength of a Real Madrid team. That's got talented players still. It's got experienced players. We talked about, you know, this team know how to get over the line. This team know how to get to finals. I thought Chelsea did a brilliant, brilliant job at just dampening all that maybe ambition that Real Madrid had.
Let's just continue on Real Madrid, Rob, before, because I totally agree with you. I thought Chelsea, let's get on to that. Let's carry on with the Real Madrid idea, Rob, because you started it. And, you know, first of all, important players back.
Yeah.
Sergio Ramos, the captain, is back in the squad.
Yeah.
Eden Hazard, a player that had a nightmare injury-wise, which is really weird because he didn't miss a lot of games for Chelsea.
No.
So I looked at the team and I'm like, oh, wow, this could be a difficult night for Chelsea.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the midfield Real Madrid and we know they are and what they've done, but the attacking side of it, Hazard, I mean, just, I don't know whether he's not fit, nothing. There's no confidence in the game whatsoever.
No.
Maybe down to some of the Chelsea stuff. And Benzema was sharp and was the only threat. We've enjoyed Real Madrid's teams in the past, Rob.
Cool.
Watching them in Chelsea teams, and we know about the side. I was just like, wow, that's it. Given the team,
the names,
Ramos wasn't available. But I'm disappointed in Real Madrid and what they brought to it. And that's as much as I want to say about them, given how good Chelsea were. And my main kind of, I watched the game, Rob, and of course, you know, it's in the balance, isn't it? And a Real Madrid goal, and, you know,
it completely changes it, doesn't it? Yeah, the whole thing changes.
I thought that, well, first of all, let's go back to the team, the decisions he made. I mean, wow.
Well,
Christian Pulisic thing. First of all, and we know Kai Havertz had been in good form in the Premier League, Rob.
Yeah,
one or two games, was it? Like, maybe just one game. He's got his goals, so it's $1 million. And we spoke about it, Rob.
Yeah, we spoke about it, didn't we? That's exactly what I was going to say. We said, look, does those goals get him a start? And you were like,
I didn't think it would, given Pulisic scored in the first game and given the player he is. Big call to play. Havertz on the right hand side, Mason Mount the Pulisic role. And I saw a quote from Pulisic, Rob, and I can't remember the source of it. But he said, I'm frustrated.
It was after the game with Alex Scott, I think. He was asked about it. Yeah.
Was it? And he said, I have to prove myself over and over again.
And I
kind of feel him because he had this with Lampard and he had to prove himself, got inside. He had this with Tuchel. He had to prove himself, get inside. And now again, when it really mattered, Tuchel thought and he gave it, you know, sort of said, well, you know what? He's 6'2", Havertz. He gives you a little bit on the defensive side. He's a different type of player to Pulisic. I still think he loves Pulisic off the bench.
It worked out.
So that call was a massive call. And you've got to say, it worked.
You got it right, didn't you? But the
general football from Chelsea, Rob, and I watched them, a defensive posture at the beginning, and I understand that. You know, I get, you know, that this is a very, you know, you've got to be careful, etc.
Yeah.
Their defensive solidity and their use of the ball, I thought, was pretty immaculate.
Yeah.
I thought they were incredibly mature performance, Rob. Yeah. Very happy to play on the counter-attack against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Mendy, was sharp, made two big saves.
Two really good saves, yeah.
Before we get into some individuals, I thought smacked of like, wow, well coached, mature.
Top European team. It felt like a top European team to me. Didn't feel like an English team necessarily. Felt like a top European team. Because sometimes we go, oh, a German team, like, you know, that's good football, you know, like a Bayern Munich or somebody. It felt like they could do each side of the game as well. Yeah. And when people will, you know, some, I don't know whether they still would you know, argue what Frank was there or anything. They're a whole different, the whole feel of the club and the team and the players is different from the Frank Lampard team, mate. It's different. And that's what this guy's brought in. And one of the things I was thinking about is, when a manager goes into the club, we generally, and it's the stock thing, like, well, you know, he's got to go through the transition. The transition. It's sometimes the transition's 2 weeks, some weeks it's 2 months, sometimes it's 2 years, which the transition. This guy has virtually had no transition. He's gone out of the football club and started working his way from day one. In 0-0 draw with Wolves, that many were going, not too sure about him. Actually shows you, whether you look at his clean sheet record and the way his team defend, is the basis of how he's built a team. But they create chances, Rob, at times. I mean, they could have been done and dusted in this match.
Well, that's what... Wasn't everybody thinking that? Like, the amount of chances to put them away, and they weren't putting them away.
Yeah, you get scared, don't you?
Like, oh, you They didn't, because Real Madrid weren't good enough.
Yeah.
That's the only thing... You know, it was an error-free, apart from the missed chances, error-free, kind of immaculate performance, I thought, from Chelsea. And we can go on about how poor Real Madrid were, but I was super impressed. You know, and those chances when you see Mason Mount going through, you see Kai Havertz going one-on-one, you're like, well, come on, then. Put them away, and they never really did. But yeah, I just think, you know, and gone to some individuals, Rob. Sure.
When you go one, I'll go one. Let's see where we end up.
I think there's one that's like, it's a bit crazy how good he was. N'Golo Kanté. N'Golo Kanté. I mean, Rob, from the goal, the little touch around the corner, from the 1-2, from playing it wide, from the defensive blocks and challenges, from getting forward to getting back. I mean, he's not a holding midfield player. He plays in a two.
He sprints back.
I was astonished, actually, how good he was. And I watched for him closely because, you know, you sometimes can miss what he does, you know. But, wow, what a game he had.
Do you know what I wrote? So he's on my list. I've got, like, I've probably got four or five on the list. But he's obviously top of the list. And I know what I wrote. The Kanté toe.
Yeah.
The Kanté toe, must be. Yeah. And you'll know, as a midfield player, a toe sometimes in the middle of the park changes the game.
Yeah,
you can tow it away from a forward who's on a run, or tow it away from a midfield player who's looking to make a pass. He just almost entices people, towed it away from, I think it was Casemiro on the first one, then gets to play his ball out and they hit the post from there. He tows it away from Nacho on the second goal. Just changes the whole course of the game. You either lose that challenge and they go on the attack, or he wins it. His toe and his timing and his ability to break up play and instigate attacks puts Chelsea on a whole different level. Absolutely whole different level.
All right, Rob, who else impressed you apart from Kanté in the game?
Antonio Rudiger, my friend, is becoming a beast. I think we remember when we travelled to the... We were lucky enough to travel to Chelsea, I think it's nearly two seasons back. We met with Frank and his backroom staff and talked to one or two people. And the name Rudiger kept coming up as like the personality, the guy who's got a bit about him. And then when the season started, didn't always play, was in and out of the side a little bit. And we was a bit like, wonder what's going on there. It did seem like something had fell out. Whatever that is, that feels like it's been mended with Tuchel. He's absolutely another whole role of responsibility. Another one, Rob, chucks himself in front of the ball wherever. He's got a mask on his head. He ain't bothered about putting his head in there. Yes. He's getting blocks in there. I've got to be honest, between that back three, as Thiago Silva, we know, is a class act. Christensen's developing his game, and I actually think Aspilicueta to the right of him helps. I think a good voice that side of him. and Rudiger, Robin Mostel, has become the kind of lead centre-back that wasn't available or wasn't being picked when Frank was at the football club.
Yeah, I think these are the decisions that we're talking about here. But Azpilicueta, right wing-back. You know, you wouldn't normally think that, but the balance of the team, the threats they had on that side, just good decisions as well. I'll tell you what, there's one area that I thought Chelsea were vulnerable. And it was left wing-back. It was Ben Chilwell. Against Vinicius Junior.
And he had the full-back as well, didn't he? It was he Matillo or somebody on that right-hand side.
I remember thinking Vinicius
Milito. Milito and Vinicius Junior a couple of times down that right-hand side.
Chilwell is not a good one-on-one defender. Mm. And when Vinicius Junior came out, I think I made a note of it. It was subbed off in the 63rd minute. That's going to help. Chilwell will be relieved because he had the beating of him, Rob. He's a super talented Vinicius Junior, but it was just like a more experienced player would have been like, give me the ball. Give me the ball. I've got this guy. And he didn't do that. They didn't get the ball enough to him because Chilwell, nobody else to play there as well, Rob. Marcus Alonso, similar. Not a very good defender. Chilwell, I just thought, that was the weak point, and Real Madrid didn't use it with him, got subbed out, and then not a threat again. So, you know, the defensive side of Chelsea, Rob, is the main reason why we're here talking about and doing so well. We know that Chelsea are going to have flair players, and they've bought a load of them, and it's exciting what they've got. They haven't always been at their best, the Werners and the Havertz, etc. But the defensive changes is what's going to make, my friend, for a great Champions League final. Now,
absolutely.
My last note on the Chelsea page is it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight. Should we get the odds? Do you want to go through the odds?
Yeah, because my last note is this team's equipped to give City problems.
Right.
This team is equipped to give City problems.
Yeah, I think there's one argument that City, you know, without the striker, there's been games when they've looked like they've struggled to score. Well, Chelsea are going to be tight defensively. Yeah. That might be an issue. Now, again, we've praised Man City for their ability to stop the counter-attack, but that's Chelsea's with Werner, Mount, they're going to be predominantly counter-attacking. Yeah. And we know City are better at that, but are they that much better than Chelsea's improvement defensively? I think it's going to be fascinating. I know the better team is. The better football team is Man City.
That doesn't mean they're going to win.
Yeah, exactly.
Let us move it to the dress rehearsal, my friend. This Saturday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern time on NBCSN, there's a dress rehearsal of the Champions League final. It's Manchester City versus Chelsea at the Etihad. City need to win the title. And we've got some odds from our partners, PointsBet Sportsbook, who give us odds on this game. On this game, remember, it's a precursor to the Champions League final. But the odds are Manchester City to win -110. A draw in that game is +235. And if Chelsea win, so Chelsea to go up there and win after all the emotion of the victory against Real Madrid, is +320. So our partners feel pretty strongly Man City get the job done, win the game, get the title, and done and dusted.
I don't.
You okay with that?
No. I'm okay with the odds. I think it's got draw written over it, You know, we're not going to see a proper. I mean, we're just not, are we? It's not going to be like
the emotional of what's happened this week will have an effect. I wonder how close to both teams play at this weekend that played midweek. I think both are big enough, both are strong enough to go different ways. It's interesting, though. I heard Thomas Tuchel say, Rob, having beat Man City in the FA Cup semi-final, they go up and beat them in the league, it puts them in a lot better place to go into the final. And I kind of get what he's saying.
It's a really interesting dynamic, and I agree with that. If they beat them again, then that does give them a psychological edge or a boost. But let's remember the FA Cup semi-final, my friend, and we watched every blimmin' game, so we reported on it. And City, what was it, 8 changes, I think? There was a ton of changes. It was very much the others They didn't turn up in that game, and Chelsea deserved to win the game. This is not going to be, well, the Champions League final is not going to be like that. And people thinking that they've beat them in the FA Cup. No. That was way different situation, and the loads of different changes. It was the other team that came in. So that's not something to cling on to. It's going to be a very different situation with the best teams, of course, from both of them. In terms of this Saturday, I mean, City don't really need to bust a gut, Rob, do they?
They don't, but I tell you what, I know what you're saying about, well, it doesn't really matter. I wouldn't mind going to a Champions League final and beating somebody twice and then thinking, well, it doesn't matter, and me saying and Thomas Tuchel being the kind of
man. It matters to Chelsea way more, given they can be the top four.
Yeah, they need the points to put the top four, but I think another win doesn't actually do no harm. I think it starts giving a little bit more relief. The only defeat up to this point is the 5-2 to Big Sam. Is West Bromwich Albion somehow get five past Chelsea and Real Madrid in the week. But I'm okay with Tuchel pushing that. Let's get it done. It's a big game for us and all that. I like it. I like that he's putting his team under pressure.
Just on the final, Rob, why don't we just give a little kind of gut feeling on the prediction for the final between City and Chelsea. What are you... I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's going to be incredibly close. I mean, it could absolutely go either way, but I still would just favour Manchester City.
I don't know. There's something about this Tuchel. Yeah. There's something about Tuchel and this team, Rob, that make me, you know, might just want to go say they might have a little edge. I don't know. But, just to reaffirm, that game is 12:30 on Big NBC this week. So 12:30 is the time on Big NBC. We can see if Man City do win the title against Chelsea.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Let's move it on, mate, because we had a great Champions League campaign for the English clubs. Not so great if you're an Arsenal fan in the Europa League in a game that was pretty much your season. Your chance of having Champions League football. 2-1 down Villarreal from the first leg, second game back at the Emirates. A 0-0 draw in the game, which means Villarreal advanced to the final under Unai Emery, the man who was sacked for Mikel Arteta to be replaced. Damaging, my friend, I would say.
Yeah, listen, this is damaging. Somewhat embarrassing. Villarreal are a small town. I think there's 50,000 population, Rob, in that area of Spain. I think it's close to Madrid. The manager that got, ridiculed a little bit, Rob, really, from his interviews, from the team, some of the tactical stuff that I thought was like wide open and poor. But the club has gone downhill after Unai Emery, and what a way to come back and to show, stick it to his former employer. I mean, the second half, Villarreal looked the more likely team, looked a more confident team in possession. Given that...
Isn't that a worry? My biggest sort of... The biggest thing I took away from the game was, until we got to about last 15 or 20 and Arsenal started to press a little bit, yes, I know they had a couple of chances, but didn't quite feel as not desperate, because you don't have to be desperate. It didn't quite feel as important as it should have to me.
Mm.
It felt almost like Arsenal had a 2-1 lead, and they were sort of saying, well, if we don't score, we go through kind of thing, or we don't need to. And I'm not talking about overcommitting. I'm not talking, just, I don't know, man. As I was watching, my God, I'm thinking, do they know they're 2-1 down?
I think, like, when you look at the squad that was available for this game,
yeah,
then I think it's worrying for Mikel Arteta. Like, I'm looking at a team now. Listen, I know that some of these haven't hit it off, but when you
yeah. pay
big money for Pepe, Willian, yeah. I know not a fee, but big wages, responsibility. That's a big transfer
yeah.
into your club to make an impact. Yeah. Lacazette, Aubameyang, Thomas Partey, Tierney's a great player. Saka's come on, looked $1 million. I mean, there's a good squad available today, Robbie. And now it's starting to. I'm finding it harder to like, wow. Like, that's not a bad bunch of players.
Well, yeah, they didn't play well, did they? Those good players didn't particularly play well today. So
are we, it goes back to the age-old, always the same problem. Is it the players aren't good enough, or is the manager not getting enough of the players? And I just listed quite a few players there, Rob, that maybe other managers could get
the managers.
And that's my concern. And I think... You know, we've both been fairly kind of understanding of Mikel Arteta.
And I think we both like him and want him to do well.
But yeah.
There comes a point where, you know, like everybody else, like the part of the game, we have to look at him as we'd look at a Mourinho, or we'd look at a Frank Lampard, or we'd look at any, you know, other people, Unai Emery in that same position. I think there was a graphic this weekend basically saying, you know, from similar games played over a similar period, Unai Emery slightly ahead of where Mikel Arteta was. Now, you know, Arteta stripped the club a little bit, is going through transition, you know, working towards something. But I go back to the Thomas Tuchel transition. Certain players who we saw in the Frank Lampard era, Rudiger, Aspilicueta on the outside, Jorginho on the outside, not really, you know, playing, have all of a sudden come into the team and look, worldy, you know, Christensen.
So that's the question. That's one of my questions I've got written down for you, my friend. Is this another Frank Lampard situation? Is this too much
too early
to Mikel Arteta? Is it too big a club? Too big a challenge for a guy that's never been a manager before? Though, granted, been in and around the game and coaching and assisting for longer than Frank has. Is this what we're seeing, that he's not ready for it? And before you get your chance...
Yeah. Oh, go on. No, go on. Finish off. I'll let you finish.
I was just going to throw my last one in here. The substitution... of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang with 10 minutes to play when he just, the play before, he'd hit the post
header. Yeah.
You explain that to me. And again, if there's an injury or an illness that we don't...
The only thing I can think of is the malaria and his health and whether
minutes,
it was that...
10 minutes more, Robbie.
I know, mate. I'm trying to think the same, because I'm looking saying, you know, what? Yeah. Your best finisher, your best striker, you got get Lacazette and him together, get 4-4-2, get some width and have a go at it. But listen, maybe there's something we don't know, but I totally agree with you. I think we're at the stage, Robin, and I think we'd like to be patient. I hear good things, or we hear through the grapevine, and Lee Dixon, very close to people at the club, that, you know, he's a great coach, he works really well on the training ground. You know, coaches and managers are different things. I think, Rob, we have to give him the element of time, the element of have some confidence in the process that he's trying to work on. I do get this. I start to think that he has to have some targets, though, mate. It's not now like, well, you know, where do we have to finish? Like, the ninth in the table at the moment. You know, that can continue. And that, you know, this season's a free hit, and next season's a free hit, and next season's the transition. I think we're starting to get to the stage where, okay, you've had this, you've had that, you've spent this, there'll be a little bit of money, but now we've got to start to find some spots. We've got to be top six. We've got to at least be top six for progress.
Yeah,
we've got to be to a final for progress.
Yeah, there's questions being asked right now by a lot of people on social media, and I've listened to it, I've heard some reaction from the game, whether this summer that they could make a change, say, you know what, this is not going in the right direction. I don't agree with that. I feel that... the first half of next season, so that gives them another summer window.
Yeah.
We need to see better signings that actually work really well, because they spent a lot of money on players, Rob, that hasn't really worked for whatever reason. It's not worked well. Another window, and obviously you get the first 3 or 4 months of the season, we Arsenal fans and the board are going to want to see this moving in the right direction. And that means to your point, like mid-table, not really good enough. Now, I know the Arsenal fans might scream, well, the squad's, you know, it isn't that great. Well, it's still better than mid-table. So I think he's absolutely underachieved where they are right now. You know, missing out to Veer.
Is it a sense, Rob? I heard this. And we also should just say, Granit Xhaka got injured in the warm-up. Now, it might have changed the plans because Xhaka was originally named in the first line and Tierney had to come in at left-back in the first half. So those things happen, you have to deal with them. He might have been, the structure was different because it looked like Thomas Partey then. It was almost like a 4-1 with Partey, with Smith Rowe and Odegaard, two sort of tens, Saka and Dingy and Pepe and Saka either side of Aubameyang top. Now, again, you pick up social media and that's not our position to just follow or copy what people say. But there's a few people out there saying, is he trying to be Pep with our group of players and we're not that level? Like, so they're sort of like two false tens and the wide players and one striker. And is his style of coaching and management and philosophy the right way to get Arsenal where they are? Is he trying to mirror what he's known or seen, or is there another way of doing this?
Well, in an ideal world, his style and his philosophy, obviously from the Pep experience, is the right thing for Arsenal Football Club. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the results override all our thoughts.
Yeah,
today.
They
really do. Like, it doesn't matter how he does it, but Arsenal sitting mid-table and losing over two legs to Villarreal, I think they're sixth in La Liga, with a squad that I went through some big names there. That is underachievement. That's a disappointing result. And there's going to be fallout. There's going to be frustration with the Arsenal fans. But, you know, bit more patience from my side of things. Another week, improve the team. Come on. Because some of the stuff from Arsenal has been good. There's been some good passage of plays. The young players have stepped forward for the most part and have improved and will gain from the minutes they've had this season, Rob. There's a few players like that. He got hit by injuries early on. So I'm prepared to give him more time and another window and more money and more time to get this team grouped, but not a lot more. You know, halfway through next season.
By Christmas time, we've got to take a
temperature.
We've
got to get it done.
Yeah. Little word for our great friend Unai Emery. My friend loves this competition, got his Villarreal team. I mean, vindication for him and he must be thinking, you know, not as easy as it looks, is it? You know, he's got his team in. They'll go up against Man United. We'll talk briefly about them in a minute. Manchester United in the final. United, I assume, will be big favourites for that one. But he gets it done, Unai Emery, mate. He gets his competition done and he gets his team through. And they did what they needed to do at the Emirates today.
Yeah, I mean, and he's had great success at this competition, at this club. PSG was mixed, really, but not hugely successful. Arsenal became a bigger club. They didn't really work out. But, I mean, these clubs at this level is phenomenal. And you've got to tip your hat and say, well done. Yeah. Well done to a team like that to beat Arsenal over two legs. And I'm sure he's pretty thrilled inside, given what he faced in North London and the tough time.
I look forward to his good evening when he does his first press conference for the Europa League final. Let's quickly talk about that, mate, because I don't think it was in much doubt that Manchester United were going to go on and win the second one, 6-2 up from the first leg. But 8-5 in the end kind of feels like it was a moment or two when you're going, do United need a bit more? I mean, they got the job done. Cavani with another couple of goals. That's four goals across the two games for him. I mean, we keep on talking how important this guy could be if they could hang on to him for another 12 months. But no real surprises. United getting the job done. Obviously, heading to the final, important final for them. And now they can concentrate on cementing that second spot in the league.
Yeah, and also really important and for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Rob, isn't it? With all the semi-finals and numerous semi-finals that they've got to and didn't find a way through. I think it's a different United now. I think he's a different manager now. I think he's much more comfortable. He's in his surroundings and in that hot seat. Yeah, I mean, we were kind of going between the two games. We've recorded this just after the finish of the two games, so it wasn't easy to spot everything, every detail of both games. But yeah, I was watching when they were like conceding the goal and another goal and then another chance where a double save, wasn't it, from De Gea? Just the kind of But yeah, I mean, always going to go through. It wasn't a great night for Man United, but frankly, who cares? They're in the final. They will be famous against Villarreal. It is after watching Villarreal now a few games, it is kind of awkward for United, Rob, but you've got to think, with the big-time players that they've got, and we've talked about the motivation and the way that they seem to be fired up in certain situations in big games. They've done that throughout, by the way, and they've always been consistent a while back. They're much more consistent now. But a big game like a Europa League final for these big-time players, I got it. They're going to win it, and that's fair play. That's fair play to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It's not an easy competition to grind through. I don't like, and I'll never like, the dropping out of the Champions League, which wasn't looked for Man United at that point in the season. Yeah. Obviously, they've improved a lot since then, and they got a great chance of winning it. Yeah, I just think, I can't see them not winning it, mate.
No, second place in the Premier League and the Europa League final will be a pretty good return for Ole in terms of making that progress that they've talked about, getting closer to City and Liverpool, who they'll obviously finish above. That final, May the 26th in Poland, Villarreal v Manchester United. United, I assume, will start favourites there. Mm. And just on the Roma, mate, just before we finish up, because obviously Roma won the game 3-2, lost 8-5 on aggregate, but Jose Mourinho's been named manager of Roma for the start of 21-22 season. I was thinking what Henrik Mkhitaryan and Chris Smalling are probably going, oh no, we just got rid of him and he's back again. I mean, it's a bit of a shame for us, Rob. You know, at NBC Sports, we've had the Premier League since 2013 and Jose's been a part of every season. Somewhere he's been involved with one of the clubs, whether it's been the Chelsea, whether it's been United, whether it's been Spurs. So we'll miss a great man, won't we? We'll miss his lines and his three-time titles and his respect and all those wonderful stories that he's told us over the years.
Yeah, I mean, he's got plenty of respect in Italy for what he did with Inter Milan. You know, they love him there. So it's probably a good little spot for him, Rob, to jump back into. It's funny because as soon as he got the job, I got a really good friend of mine's a massive Roma fan. He's from Rome. He said, oh, no, Mourinho's going to come and ruin my room, finally ruin my club. He's a little bit nervous about it. But listen, he's that guy, Rob. You don't quite know. He might go in there and fire a few up and bring Mick.
Reinvent it again,
And they might do really well. Or, of course, it can go the other way where, you know, it's you have to pick up the pieces after he's hammered some players and hammered a few people around the training ground and trying to do it his own way. But no, there's no question, Rob, that there's an obvious level of respect you've got to have for somebody like that. That's won in different countries, and can he do it again? Now he's a little later in life and a little bit later in his career. He would love to get back successful again. And AS Roma is a fantastic club. Wow, they've had some ups and downs over recent seasons, as they always do. Let's see what he can do there. And you know, it's one of them, Rob. We'll just keep an eye on it and check out their results from time to time. For sure.
Our podcast content is definitely going to be poorer without Jose Mourinho around, for absolute sure. Listen, mate, another great week of European football when the English teams nearly had a full house of spots in the European finals. Man City have to beat Chelsea to win their first ever Champions League trophy. But Manchester United will now face Villarreal in the Europa League final. We'll be back on Saturday, possibly. If Manchester City get the job done, we'll do a podcast then. If not, we'll do one on Sunday to recap the whole weekend. As I say, Manchester City do face Chelsea on Saturday, and a win for them will give them the Premier League title. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, be healthy. Good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.